And on that note, let's start. Okay, so now we've moved on a little bit swiftly and haphazardly from the Akira and Hanacha Sugyos. Right? There, a real question was, what goes into the Maisa of Hotza? Right? What actions are involved in making Hotza Hotza? Right? So we talked about, is the Ikar the Akira? Right? The Akira is Dabar Mimkomo, the fact that you've detached it from its current location, right? And the Havaras Hoshos and Hanacha are sort of a tnaim in that, or that you accomplished something, right? You got it somewhere new. Or is it the change of Roshuyos itself, that moment of transition, which is really the issue? And we also discussed the question is Hotza about, right, transporting something, right? Accomplishing some sort of economic need? Or is it really about the fact that Hotza is a change in the object, right? You've moved it, you've been okere from its makom. It needs to go somewhere new in order for that to register, but ultimately it's the fact that you took it away from where it is, okay? And the nafkamina is like, where do we put the emphasis, right? If you, let's say in terms of kimle, Reb Chaim has this whole arichas about in the question of kimle b'derabim mine, let's say you're mechal Shabbos and you're kone something at the same time, right? When do we say the malacha of Shabbos happened? Is it when you did the akira? Right? Is it when you did the hanacha? Is it the havaras rishos in the middle? Okay, so if it's about the economic transportation value, right, that you're accomplished a certain something that's, you know, an important sector of the economy, we're going to emphasize the hanacha. If it's about the change in the object, we're definitely going to emphasize the akira. Akira is davar mimkomo. Okay, and then for our new sugyos, we're going to ask not about the maisa of hotza, but of the Roshuyos, of where Hotza is happening, right? What makes Hotza into Hotza? Where does that have to happen in order for it to count, right? You know, it has to be Hotza from Rosh Hashayachid to Shesarabim, or Shesarabim to Shesarabim, or Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashayachid, right? But what defines those Roshuyos? What makes each of those Roshuyos the Roshuyos? And then as a second question, does that definition tell us something about Hotza? Right? Because you could theoretically separate those two. Right? You could really say, oh, on the one hand, there's Akira, you know, and there's Hanacha, and there's the question of the Maisa Hotza, and those have to happen in Roshuyos. How we define the Roshuyos is something sort of, you know, objective or more abstract. It's not really about the directly related, obviously indirectly it is, but it's not necessarily directly related to how you define Hotza. It's just, you know, a Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's just what it is. You're not allowed to do Hotza in from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashanah. What makes something Rosh Hashanah is just what we mean. That's what the word means. Okay? Or we can say, and this is generally our inclination as conceptual thinkers, is that the definition of Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashanah is going to be linked to what makes Hotza into a malach. Okay? Ah, you guys are all stroking your beards and saying, wait a second, I thought it was pretty obvious what Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashanah. I mean, like, what is you know, what is there to play with? So, Baruch Hashem, we magically got to Daf Vav, in the past week from Daf Gimel, and therefore that's exactly what we're going to go into. So, without further ado, we are going to start the sikyos. Okay, so someone want to read? I think this would be genius. Get someone to read the Gemara.
You read.
Yeah.
All right. Tanah Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Rabbim, the Makom Ptur. Easily Rosh Hayachid. Charet Shua Melech Asara Barachav Arba. So it's something that's 10 deep and 4 wide. And we determined that those were both Tefach measurements. Yeah. V'chein geder shu gavoh asra v'rachav arba'ah yirushu v'yachi gemura. V'ezu yirushu harabim sartiu palti gedua. Sartiu palti, Rashi said, were like main roads or highways, right?
Yeah, so Sraki is the highway, right? The main road, main street.
That's the market.
Yeah, is the central plaza or the central market.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into that again.
V'mavo zuhi yirushu harabim. And Vod Mufuachim are basically the streets that lead between the Sarti or that go through them.
Exactly. So it's the streets that are connected to these two main things. Right. By the way, just that formulation, mavos hamifulashin, right? Rashi adds in lahen. The Gemara doesn't necessarily have that, right? If you notice Rashi, the way Rashi formulates is mavos hamifulashin to the sratio platya. How, what would you say, like, what's the difference between those?
Well, the question is, like, whether they would require Srati and Patya to be there in order to be Arshus Rabin in themselves, or do those just make them Arshus Rabin?
Exactly. And conceptually, right, either is a Mavoi Mufulash independently a type of Arshus Rabin, or is really what, the way Rashi formulates it, what's really the definition of Arshus Rabin? What makes something Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, conceptually? Right? Practically, there's not much difference. But conceptually, what happens is, according to what we have exactly in front of us in the Gemara, Mivos, Mifulashin, means you have a street, right? And the street is a clear, straight road. It's open on both ends. That's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. In which case, I would say that streets, public streets, are Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. According to Rashi's formulation, right, Mifulashin Lahen means really what conceptually makes something Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is being a Sratio Plakya. Being streets that are entirely, right, that feed directly in the on-ramp to the highway, essentially, is an extension of the highway, right? You wouldn't say that the on-ramp to a highway is in and of itself, you know, interstate highway. It's an extension, it's a part of the interstate highway, and therefore the status of the interstate highway extends onto it. Right? So the Sratio Platya essentially, right, they promulgate through the rest of the street system, right? So the arteries of the street system are arteries of the Sratio Platya. Okay? So according to Rashi's definition, right, what Rashi adds on, really, what a Rabbim is a Sratio Platya. The Mavaz that are Mefulash to them extend the definition of Rosh Rabbim, right? Or they're, you know, ancillary parts of the broader, bigger Rosh Rabbim, and they sort of get its status. Okay? And that's going to be important in terms of defining what, right, what really makes something Rosh Rabbim. Okay? For Rashi, you know, it's really got to be it's a highway, it's the highway, it's the main road, it's the plaza, right? The central plaza of the city, right? Roads that lead into it extend that definition, but they are not it, right? They're not really the Rosh Hashanah. Technically, in terms of the halacha lemaisa, there's no difference, right? Because they're also Rosh Hashanah. But in terms of conceptually, when we're trying to figure out what makes something into Rosh Hashanah, it's really the Sratio Platya, and they're just extending through the Mavos Mufulash. Okay, Kayan, and Amitai.
Zu, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Gemara. Ein motzi mir zu, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim zu, ve ein machnisi mir Rosh Hashanah Rabbim zu, Rosh Hashanah Yachid zu. Sorry.
Yeah, you're here, right? Ein motzi v'hichnes, b'shogi chayim chatas, b'mezir, anush karis, v'niska. Okay. Aval, Yamu Bikavitz Divanis Vakarmelis, Ina Lo Kirshus Rabin, Velo Kirshus Ayachid. Right? The ocean, right, in a valley, and it's Divanis, which is like it's like a platform that's sort of like, you know, it's like a stage, you know. It's just offset from the Shus Rabin and a Karmelis. Ina Lo Kirshus Rabin, Velo Kirshus Ayachid, they're neither. In Nosim Nosim Betocha, Vim Nasim Nasim Betocha Pater. Right? So you can't go Dalat Amos in it, and you can't do it from Inter Sarabim or Tir Siyachid. Okay, fine. A chatzer of the Rabbim, meaning a courtyard that belongs to many people, or a mavoi that's not mefulash, irvu karin, lo irvu asurin. If you're ma'ariv them, then they're mutter, and if not, they're asur. Okay, fine. Right, that's already a separate point. You have these achatzer. It's technically Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it belongs to many people, so you have to have an air of chatzeros. Okay. And we're going to skip the, we'll skip the rest about the iskuba. Okay. So in the Gemara, right, what do we have? Four Rishuyos, right? There's Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Karmelis, and Makom Ptur. Okay. Later it gets into the Makom Ptur. Makom Ptur, you're allowed to be, you're allowed to use it and give from one to one Rishus to the other. Okay? Where Adam Omer Al Eskupa is the Makom Ptur, and you're allowed to use it basically in either direction. Okay, but you have four equal, you have four equal Rishuyos. Okay? Or you have four Rishuyos. Each one has its own status. Okay? So Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaYachid is Rishus HaYachid. Right? Karmelis and Makom Ptur are neither. But the Karmelis is like, you know, usher in something, in a bunch of things. Basically, it's sort of stuck either way. It's usher both ways because it's neither Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. Makom Ptur is nothing, basically, right? It's its own Rishus, it's totally mutter. Okay? So you have, you know, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, something that's in between, which is the Karmelis, which and therefore technically is mutter midraisa, but usher midrabanan, and a Makom Ptur, which is like, you know, it's like, it's the free zone. Okay. If you look at the Yerushalmi, it gives you a different list. Right? Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, V'Karmelis, and instead of Makom Ptur, we have Umevao She'inan Mefulashim. Okay, you have a dead-end street. Okay, what's the din of a dead-end street? A street, right, that needs a sheet of mevaos. Okay, you, they all the people in it need to a they need to put up like a lechi or a korah to, at the end of the street, and they need to, you know, to be meshatif. They need to join together somehow to make a bailos of the whole that they're all shutvin in one meal. So it's as if it's like one big happy family. Okay, as opposed to Makom Ptur. What does that, what would that tell me? What do you guys make of that? Like, why change it?
Well, it sounds like they have no such as a place that wouldn't need an Erev in order to use it.
Right, okay. What's the problem, though, is that late Yerushalmi does acknowledge Makom Ptur. In terms of the halacha l'maisa, just doesn't want to treat it as one of the arba rishuyos. Why would you say that? Why could you say, "Oh, it's not; it shouldn't go in the brisa, arba rishuyos brisa"? Because the halacha is there; it exists, but it's not. They don't want to count it as a rishuyos.
Is that because it's not big enough?
Okay, what do you mean by that? Good.
Doesn't have to be below 4x4 amot or something.
That's right. Every lesson, dalet al dalet. Okay, what do you, what you, Amitai, I think, is getting at, or at least they're like dancing around, is maybe it's not a rishus. Right? It's not big enough to be a rishus. If it's less than dalet al dalet tvachim, or slamah me'asara, right, just like floating in the air, so maybe it's, just, it's not a rishus. It's a makom ptur, right? You're allowed to use it, you're allowed to, you're putter if you do, but it's not a rishus in which you're allowed to use. It's a lack of rishus, maybe. Right? One of the big questions that by Makom Ptur is how much is it a place which you're allowed to do whatever you want? Or it's not a rishus at all. It's simply a lack of rishus. Okay. Now what the nafkamina of that would be is potentially, like let's say you had a Makom Ptur. You know, could you have a Makom Ptur inside of a Rishus HaYachid? Could you have a Makom Ptur inside of a Karmelis? Right? Maybe, let's say in a Karmelis, fundamentally, oh, well, Karmelis is really also a place that's not a Rishus HaYachid and not a Rishus HaRabim. So maybe a Makom Ptur wouldn't be relevant because it's essentially the same thing. Just happens to be the Karmelis is the Rabbanim who goes there on. So why should the Makom Ptur be any different? Or you say no, right? Makom Ptur is its own Rishus. In which case, even inside a Karmelis, it would be distinct. because it's not part of the Karmelis. It's a Makom Ptur. It's a fourth Rishos. Right? So that's one important difference, is that, right, maybe the Yerushalmi just thinks that a Makom Ptur isn't a Rishos at all. It's just a lack of Rishos. Okay? As opposed to the Bavli, who says, oh no, right, you have a Makom Ptur. It has its own definition. It has its own structure. And that structure is a Rishos. That's Pat. That's one thing. Number two is it says something about the Mavol She'ina Mefulash. Right? Tosfos asks, on Vav and Mabed, why don't we count Mavol She'ina Mefulashin, right? Things that need an Erev Chatzeros as part of the Da'at, as a fifth Rishos. It should be five Rishos L'Shabbos. Right? I mean, the fact that we added something to the list isn't just, oh, because we took off Makom Ptur, but also why are we putting in Mavol She'ina Mefulashin? So Tosfos answers, oh, because Mavol She'ina Mefulashin are not Rishos. Right? What are they? So Tosfos says, oh, it's a Rishos HaYachid that we happen to, that Rabbanan said, you can't carry him. Right? There's nothing fundamental about it that makes it Rishos HaRabim, that makes it Aser. Right? But what's the Yerushalmi here saying? Sounds like the Yerushalmi saying that it is, right? When you need an Erev Chatzeros, or in this case, a sheet of Mevos, you need to put up the Lechi and the Korah, it's not just because, oh, the Rabbanon goes there that it looks different. It looks like a Rishos Rabim, right? It actually is its own type of Rishos. Mevos She'ina Mefulashim, right? Basically, it has three walls, right? It's a dead-end road, so it has, right, surrounded by houses on three sides. That is actually going to be a different type of Rishos. Okay, so you have the Rishos HaRabim, which is the road, and you have Rishos HaYachid, let's say it's a house, and you have a Karmelis, which is, you know, the field outside, and then you have a Mevol She'ina Mefulashin, which is like the alleyway, which is its own different type of Rishos. Okay, and that's very important in terms of understanding, like Masach Zerubin, a lot of it's dealing with the Dinam of a Mavui, and part of that could be because Mavui actually has its own halachic status, midoraisa even. It's its own Rishos, right? So most of the dinim are going to be derabanan, but it exists as a separate Rishos. Now, why is that so important? Because what it tells us is that you have Rishuyos, even midoraisa, independent of Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRab. Okay? You have several different conceptual components that go into being a Rishos. Some of those are going to be usher to metalta from one to the other, and some of them are not, right? It's not just, oh, you have, you know, these two places that you're allowed to go to, you can't go from one to the other, and there are lots of things that fall in between the cracks, okay? Who might say otherwise? So look at the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Arba Rishiyos, Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaRabim, Izu Rishos HaYachid, Charetz HaAmok Asar V'Rachav Arba, V'chein Gadr Shegavah Asar V'Rachav Arba, Zeh Rishos HaYachid Kmura, Ezehu Rishos HaRabim, Srati Oplati Agdola, Umuval Samifulash, and Zehu Rishos HaRabim Gemura. Okay, there are four Rishuyos. So the way that Shaul Lieberman reads this Tosefta, and the Tosefta Kipchuta, there's a different way to read the parak, but we're going to stick with the Tosefta Kipchuta's read right now, is that it's not, what does it list? It only lists Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRabim. So he says it's a Shtayim Shein Arba. It's great. Right? What are the four Rishuyos? Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaRabim are two. Ezehu Rishos HaYachid, Char Shamok Asara V'Rachav Arba, V'chein Gedr Shegavah Asara V'Rachav Arba. Right? Either something that goes down and has walls, or something that goes up and has walls. What's Rishos HaRabim? Two things, right? Srati Uplati Gedola, and Mavos HaMefulashin, Zuh Rishos HaRabim Gemura. There are two types of Rishos HaYachid and two types of Rishos HaRabim. The two types of Rishos HaYachid are things that go up and things that go down, right? Basically, right, things that have walls that stick above the ground and things that have walls that go below the ground. And the other thing is Rishos HaRabim, Srati Uplatya. And what's the other type of Rishos HaRabim? Right, the Mavui Mefulash. Your regular side roads that are not dead ends. So that's cool though. It's like a double cool, because he's saying that what? It's a regular Rishos HaRabim, but it's different than the Srati Oplatya. right? There's Sratya and Platya, right? Which are like these major, major, you know, the main highway and the main plaza, which are shayach to everybody, that everyone goes through. And then there are side roads. Side roads are also Rishus HaRabim, right? But it's a different type of Rishus HaRabim. So it's a little bit like neither the, you know, the way we read our Gemara or the way Rashi read the Gemara. Because Rashi really says, there's Satya Platya, A, and B, is there's Mavosim Fulashin Lahin, which is an extension. The way we read our Gemara is that there's Satya Platya and Mavosim Fulash, they're all equal. The Tosefta has the Mavi Mufulash as something that's it's equal in terms of it being Rosh Sarabim, but it's like a different type of Rosh Sarabim. Right? Okay. So putting this together, right, what we had, our Gemara says there are four Roshios, and right, each one is independently Roshios. The Yushami takes out Makom Ptur and replaces it with a Mavi Sheinu Mufulash. And the Tosefta basically takes out Mavi and Karmelis, takes out Malkum Ptur and Karmelis, and only has Rosh Siach and Rosh Sarab. Those are the only two Rishuyos. Everything else is simply a lack of meeting those requirements. Okay? So how much is being a Rishuyah something that's, you know, objectively positive? There's something that's a Rishuyah, and there are other things that are not Rishuyos, right? Your Chayiv on Shabbos, being Mavi or Mirshus Rishuyos, it happens to be lots of things sort of are not Rishuyos and they just fall between the cracks. Or are there Rishuyos, like the Bavli says, that you're just totally allowed to be Mavir? The Torah has no problem with you being Mavir from Rishus A to Rishus C. You just can't be Mavir from Rishus Yachet to Shab, but you can be Mavir from Rishus Yachet to a Karmelis. No problem. Right? I mean, the way the Tosefta will formulate it is simply that Karmelis isn't really a Rishus. So therefore, Mimela, you didn't do Havara Mirshus Rishus when you were Mavir from Rishus Yachet to a Karmelis. Right? You understand that? Everyone got that? I mean, according to the way the Yushami is teaching it, essentially, why are you Patar from being Mavir from Rishus Yachet to a Karmelis? Because you are Mavir Mirshus Rishus. You are Mavir from Rishus to nowhere, or to a non-Rishus. From the Bavli, you're machayiv when you're mavi from Shtayachet to Shtarabim. If you go to a Karmelis, so you're pater. Why? Because the Torah never said you can't be married from Shtayachet to a Karmelis. I, Karmelis is a Rishos, that's fine. Right? In terms of the conceptual side of things, do you think that really aligns with some of what we talked about earlier? Up to, like, I can't tell you, conclusively whether it is, but I'm just curious what you guys think.
I don't quite understand how the Karmelis became a not Rishus.
I mean, according to the Tosefta, is the way the Tosefta Kapshuta understands it. The two Rishio, the Arba Rishios, are two Rishus Ayachids and two Rishus Rabbis. Karmelis just isn't mentioned. They're a dinim of Karmelis. Karmelis, it's Pater Avalasar, right? Midrabanan. But it's not a Rishus, really. The Rishuyos are just Rishus Yachet and Rishus Rab. And therefore, when we talk about Havara and Rishus Rishus, it obviously can only pertain to Rishus Yachet and Rishus Rab. Right? So I think Ashtas is, how would you guys connect it to like what we've talked about until now? You don't have to, by the way, right? We can totally say, okay, you know, that's like a separate question of how you define the Rishuyos. But if you want to connect how you define the Rishuyos to the question of how you define the Maisa of and the Malacha of Hotza, how would you guys go about it?
Perhaps the placement of the object is sort of as important as the process of getting it there, or the details to it are important, just like the details of the action are.
Okay, but I'm saying, how do you align? Like the what do you say? Like works better, you know, with what side of the hakira in terms of the actual malacha? the Maisa Malach, Avot Zah. Right, let's say, you know, the question of, it's all about transportation. It's about, you know, the economic process of transporting something. Or no, like there's really creative content to Hotza. It's changing the object. I mean, oker, or just, you know, it's like you're being oker mimkoma. Right? It's like a lack of shmisa.
If chutzah is about transferring from reshut to reshut, then I would say that then according to that svara, a karmeli doesn't exist, because you're chayav for transferring from any one reshut to another, and going into a karmeli isn't considered a transfer of reshut. But if what we're worried about is you know, something more economic, something more about, you know, contributing to business, then maybe a karma really does exist and the Torah doesn't care about it because business happens in the Rishita Rabbi.
Very good. I would say that according to, the more we take the perspective that the Akira, right, being Oker Mimkomo is the Ikar problem, right, the change that you're, you know, subjecting the object to, the more I would argue that, right, if we said back in the Akira and Hanacha discussions, what really matters is the Akira, and the Hanacha is sort of the end point of the Malacha, right? It's the Gemar Malacha. But really, the Ikar Malacha is the fact that you're Oker. Akira es chifes mim koma. So then, I would say, maybe I don't really need such an important Hanacha. Right? Maybe I don't need to have Hanacha agabi makom dalet al dalet. Maybe I should be chayiv on a Hanacha in a Karmelis. Oh, so why am I potter? So Yair is saying, well, maybe because karma simply isn't rishus, right? Like the Tosefta seems to be saying, there's rishus yachid, there's rishus rabim. Everything else is simply a lack of rishus. So there's no transfer of rishus because it's, right? You put it into a different rishus. As opposed to, right, if you take the Bavli's approach, there are four rishuyos. Why shouldn't you be chayiv? You were okir it from rishus yachid and now it's in a karma, and you put it in a karma, right? If, however, the mechayiv is not from the creative perspective, right, they've changed the object, you can oker it mimkomo, you've ruined its shvisa, let's say, to make it less creative and constructive, but just more general, right? But rather, let's say it's an economic activity, it's constructive, right? You're accomplishing something. Potentially you're accomplishing, right, a very important economic activity. So then, from the constructive side of things, I assume, what matters is the hanacha, right? Where it gets to at the end of the day, or at least the shinoi rishos. And then it's not just a question of whether or not there was a shinoi from one rishos to another rishos, but I care very much about which rishuyos those are, right? If I don't get it from rishos hayachid to rishos harabim, I haven't actually created a particularly important economic activity, right? No important economic activity has undergone. If I took it from my house and now it's like in the middle of, you know, some canyon somewhere, right? That's not economic activity. Right? That's not constructive. So then I care very deeply about what the rishos says, right? That's number one. Number two is now getting into from the, you know, the fact, what are there, right, four rishuyos, and what are those four rishuyos? Is, right, and that can also, by the way, tie into our question of makom tur, right, how much do I need there to be a place with like a name tag on it that I can say, oh, like this place is, you know, is place X, and how much do I just need it to be in, you know, in terms of GPS coordinates somewhere new? In which case, like, yeah, makom tur, it's still going to be rishus because it's different GPS coordinates, right? And it's different GPS coordinates, and the place where it is now has different characteristics than where it was a minute ago. Right? Does it need to have a positive identity, or does it, in order to be a rishus, does it just need to be a different location? In order to be a different location, right, it has to have some sort of measurable difference, right? Just we saw the Baal Amor on Hilaf Dalet Amos. What did the Baal Amor say about Dalet Amos? Why are you chayiv in Rishus Rabim? Because every Dalet Amos is like a new place. It's like a new Rishus. in Rosh Tarabim. Just because everyone in Rosh Tarabim gets Dalai Lama's of personal space. So each one's like its own Rishas, right? There's no difference in the different Dalai Lama's. They're still in the Rosh Tarabim, right? But his point is it's moved, right? It's measurably moved. Right? So maybe I can say, oh, okay, well, Makom Ptur is also, it's a different place. It's a place where you can be Pater, right? But in terms of GPS coordinates, it's different, right? And in terms of characteristics, it's not part of the other. So, okay, it'll be Rosh Hashanah. Or no, in order to be Rosh Hashanah, he needs to have actual positive characteristics of being a specific place with a specific purpose, right? With some level of usefulness, right? And independence. And Makom Ptur just doesn't have that. Okay. All right, now coming into the question of Rosh Hashanah, the next thing we're going to do is Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, the question is going to be, right, how do I define Rosh Hashanah? And here I think I'm just going to give a very, very quick giveaway of one of our core chakiros, which is what makes it Rosh Hashanah? Is it the fact that it's not private property? Is it the fact that it's public property? Is it the fact that that's actually where the public is found, right? Is it because, oh, that's where everyone is? It's this massive, you know, it's like Times Square. It's this public plaza. Is it because that's where economic activity happens? Is it that's where transportation happens? Right? One of our questions about Stratia and Platia, the Mavos and Fulashin, which we keep seeing, right? What makes them into their Shisarabins? Is it because really they're the Stratia? Right? They're the main road. That's where the main transportation from place to place happens. Is it they're the platya? It's the marketplace where people sell stuff. And that's where like the people actually stand around and schmooze, right? It's the public forum. Or is it the mavos and mefulashin, right? The roads, just the entire transportation system or the entire public area, right? Anything that's, you know, the public part of the city is also going to be a Rosh Hashanah, right? How much do we need Rosh Hashanah to really be a place where, oh, like, you know, all, the whole world is there, right? It's like going to the Kotel, you know, on Chol HaMoed. You might see everybody you ever know and met in your whole life is there practically, right? So it's Rosh Hashanah because that's mamish, it's where the Rabbim are found. Or is it, no, just, you know, any back alley, as long as it's not closed at the end, as long as it's not dead end, is part of the public network of roads, and therefore that's Rosh Hashanah. Right? So this question of, you know, what makes something a Rosh Hashanah and what makes a Hotza into Hotza, right, is a creative, is a constructive, what is the Torah, you know, asserting, is going to say, well, whether, you know, are these Mufas and Fulashin Rosh Hashanah, or no, they're not really Rosh Hashanah, they're connected to the Rosh Hashanah, so there's nothing that stops the status of Hashanah extending through them. But really, they wouldn't, if they were minutak, if they were independent of the Srati and the Platya, they would not be Rosh Hashanah by themselves at all. Okay, and then we're going to stop here, because the Rosh Hashanah Sugya is very, is big and complex. So we'll leave that for next time, right? Unless you guys want to continue to the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, you guys got a chance to see the Makoros? No. Okay, so we're going to leave that for next year. And we'll stop with the discussion of